In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Today, we have the commemoration of the exile of Adam and Eve from the garden. And this afternoon, we will offer the first Lenten service with the rite of forgiveness. I want to describe that to you for just a moment, for those of us who may not have gone through this before. And then I want to make a connection between that and our understanding and why we commemorate the exile of Adam and what that has to do with forgiveness for us. The rite of forgiveness is always the way in which Orthodox Christians begin their Lenten experience. The rite itself takes place at the end of the first Lenten Vespers, and we gather together all those who are in community with one another, recognizing that a community is always marked not only by its faithfulness towards one another and its love towards one another, but also by the brokenness that exists in those relationships, the misunderstandings that exist, the hardships, all the things that happen within the community of the faithful, all the things that happen within the community of the families or the marriages or the friendships, which are being lived out with the church at their center. And because the church is at their center, not only the Holy Communion within those relationships, but also the brokenness that can be made holy is brought into the church through the rite of forgiveness. And we come to one another, beginning with the priest, asking for forgiveness for our sins towards God and towards one another. And so the priest stands here and he bows before you as you deserve because you are holy in the sight of God. And he asks you for forgiveness. And then the response that is customary for the beginning of forgiveness, to make what is broken in the relationship holy, is God forgives and I forgive. Forgive me, the sinner. The priest says, God forgives and I forgive. And then there is a kiss of peace. And that first person that comes to the priest stands to the priest's right hand. And the next person comes, and we repeat this ritual, this communion of forgiveness that begins with the acknowledgement of our sins and ends not only with forgiveness, but the beginning of peace. And then that person goes to the person at the right of the priest and does the same with them and stands to their right. And every person within the community comes through and does this. This rite of forgiveness is how we begin our Lenten experience, because it is not possible for us to arrive and to attain to the light of the resurrection except by forgiveness. And now I want to pause on that for a moment and bring back in our understanding of the exile of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were exiled from the garden because they broke communion with God. They broke communion not because they ate the fruit of a particular tree, but because they allowed their appetites to consume everything that God had given to them in pride and in selfishness. And so they had broken relationship with God. They broke relationship with one another. They broke relationship with all of creation. We heard in the hymns during Orthros this morning, the serpent, that is creation. Eve, that is the mother of life, of our life. And you, O God, we are at enmity with all of them. When our appetites overtake us and our life and all the things that give life to us, all the things that God has gifted to us as being life-giving. And we put ourselves at enmity with God, and our enmity with God exiles us from communion. It exiles us from paradise. It exiles us from loving relationships. It puts us in a place where we are at dispeace, unease, dis-ease with God and our neighbor and even ourselves and creation. And so it is not possible for us to enter into paradise until that communion has been restored and there is peace. And so we practice forgiveness, because forgiveness, when it is asked for and when it is received, forgiveness is faithfulness. Forgiveness is the beginning of peace. And we know this to be true because it is exactly what Christ himself does. And not Christ only, but the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. When we were at enmity with God, God the Father decided to abolish that enmity by his own humility and love. He decided to give forgiveness when we were not even asking for it. And so his Son, in perfect obedience, which means that his will was united to the will of the Father. They willed the same thing. That's what obedience is. You will the same thing. Your life is a shared life. You live that life together, and you will in that life the very same things. Obedience is not a debasement of the one who is in obedience. It is a shared will in life. And the Son, who had that same desire to set us free from our own enmity, from the prison that we had created for ourselves, in his own humility, went out of himself, did not consider it robbery to be removed from the glory of being seated at the right hand of the Father, but came into our flesh, became one of us, and lived our life even unto death and Hades. That is an act of forgiveness. And there's something that is particular about divine forgiveness in that it is participatory. God did not simply say to us, I forgive you. He said, I'm going to show you what forgiveness looks like. It is the restoration of communion. And I'm not going to just speak about it. I'm going to put it into practice. Even though you may not yet want it, I'm going to show you the glory of being in communion. And so he comes and he participates in our life. And because he participates in our life, that says something to us about what the nature of forgiveness is. Forgiveness is participation in the life of the other. This is very important, because when we begin our Lenten experience, or in any moment in our life, as a family, as a parish, as a married couple, as friends, and we find that there is brokenness in that relationship, and we ask ourselves, how do I forgive? The way we forgive is by beginning to restore a common will, beginning to restore a common life, so that what was broken no longer separates, but becomes a new point of connection. The enmity of humanity, of Adam and Eve, became the point of connection between the divine and the human, because it became the point of incarnation. And we now see the incarnation as being the great glory of our relationship with God. It's not simply a band-aid or a scab over a wound. It has elevated us even above what we would have expected or anticipated or desired beforehand, before there was that rupture. God took what was evil and meant it for good, a greater good even than we could conceive of. And when we come to one another and we say, forgive me the sinner, we are able to do that first of all because we have been forgiven by God. And that gives us the space, and that gives us the freedom, and it gives us the agency and the courage and the ability to ask for forgiveness, not to accuse the woman you gave me, the serpent, the creation, the kids, the job, the this, the other, the car, whatever it might be. Not to accuse, but to say, let's practice a restored communion. Because that is what Christ himself has emulated for us. It does not mean that our heart is necessarily wholly purified of the hurt. It means that we recognize that the only way that the hurt will become holy is by beginning to practice forgiveness, which is a faithfulness to one another, the beginning of a new relationship, a new communion, upon which is built a renewed trust and a renewed life. And that renewed trust and that renewed life is for us in our relationships, Pascha. It's Pascha. When a couple or a family or a parish is broken by something, and they desire for that to be resurrected, then they turn to one another, they ask for forgiveness, they give forgiveness, they begin again to be faithful to one another, And that faithfulness builds a paschal life of trust and renewed life with each other. And it doesn't mean that we have to set aside the pain that we have or the distrust that we have or the misgivings that we have. What it means is we work on those things through forgiveness. We work on them by asking for forgiveness for our own part and by giving forgiveness to the other. That means that we become compassionate to ourselves and to the other. We see the other through the hurt that they have rather than just through the hurt that we have. And we see them compassionately with love that desires for them to be healed, even as we ourselves desire to be healed. And so what happens is that instead of us turning towards each other and saying, I need you to be such and such, or I need to be such and such for this to work, instead you two, whoever it may be, the couple, the family, the parish, the whatever the relationship may be, the two of you, the two sides, rally together around the point of contact, of healing. You two become, we all become, means of healing, peacemakers, by rallying around the hurt and making it holy. So that we're not simply faced off against each other, but together facing towards what needs to be healed. I hope that makes sense, but this is exactly what Christ did. He came in self-emptying, in compassion, in love, to participate in our life. He didn't disdain to come down to us. He condescended to give up what was so great and glorious. And when he came, he dwelt in our midst and he lived our life with us, side by side. And he taught us how to see the goal and the purpose of our life the same way he saw it. So that we could have one common will with him and have a restored faithfulness with him and a restored trust in life. He didn't come and just simply give to us a set of rules and then go. He came and he shared and he gave life. He walked side by side with us. He didn't face off with us. He turned us around out of our enmity so that we could see the glory that he desired for us, and together we walked toward it. So today when we come together, we come and we begin by facing each other. That is needful at the beginning, to face each other, to see each other in our woundedness and ask and give forgiveness. But once that forgiveness is begun, we turn side by side and face the same way together. And what is given to us in this icon, this image of forgiveness during the rite of forgiveness, is then how we proceed through our entire life, all the Lenten and Paschal experiences that we have. So that not only does the 40 or the 50 days of Lent and Holy Week lead us to resurrection, but our whole life does, as we walk side by side. So that we might ourselves, I dare would say, that as Christ said, that the right hand and the left hand are held for the two greatest, the greatest woman and the greatest man ever born, so too we can say about ourselves, the right side and the left side of me, of I who am made in the image of God, is there to be held by all of you who are for me the greatest men and women born of creation. Because your place is there at my right hand and my left hand. And my place is at your right hand and your left hand. And together we walk together, sometimes stumbling, sometimes elevated by the grace of God into the kingdom. Because forgiveness is the beginning of a renewed faithfulness to one another. And that faithfulness is a new life, and it is Paschal. May God grant this to us today and every day of our life. May every day be a day in which we offer and give and receive forgiveness, so that every day is a renewal of faithfulness before God and before one another. May we be ready, as God himself is, to give forgiveness even when it isn't asked. We come up to confession not in order to beg God for forgiveness, but to receive the forgiveness he's already given to us, to step into that grace. May we always offer that same grace to one another. And in so doing, live a grace-filled life that is, even here, the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Forgive me.